You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 26, verse 13, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 26, verse 13. I'm entitling this lesson today, Let's Redig Your Well. Let's redig your well. Now, you know, God was looking for a man who loved God, who would obey him. So he found Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, Isaac, and in his seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In other words, God says, I'm going to send my only son, my begotten son, Jesus, whom I love. I'm going to send him through your lineage, and he's going to come and pay the sin debt. So the genealogy began. Isaac married beautiful Rebekah. And then she was with child. That's good. See, the seed line's continuing. But last week, lo and behold, she realized she had twins in her womb, and they were fighting like cats and dogs. So she asked God, why are they fighting? God said, Rebekah, there are two nations in your womb, and the younger is the one who's supposed to receive the birthright blessing. It'll be the younger through whom Messiah will come. Well, out came hairy old red Esau. Esau means Edom, red, rush by the Volga, Russia. And the other great nation, as we learned last week and will continue to learn, is the United States of America. But Rebekah knew that it was the younger one, Jacob, who was grabbing onto the heel of Esau, who was supposed to be to get the birthright. It was supposed to be through Jacob would come Messiah. Well, the young lads grew, and Esau went into the woods to hunt some deer, and he came back and he was so hungry, and Jacob was cooking some stew. So Esau said, give me some of that pottage, I'm about to die. So Jacob said, I'll give you some of my pottage if you'll sell me your birthright, if you'll let me receive the birthright blessing. Esau said, I don't care anything about that. I just want my food. And so we left off with Esau hating and despising his birthright. Why? Because in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, there was one-third of God's children. We were all there in a spiritual body who followed Satan and despised our birthright. And so Esau was one of those. But Jacob was one of those who got up and fought for God. All of the chosen in every generation got up and fought for God, and we're still fighting Amen. For God. Amen. When it looks like everything is okay now, Jacob got the blessing and that was God's will, but something happened. Now, how about you? You gave your life to the Lord. You were going to let destiny take its course. You were going to be everything God meant for you to be. But something happened to detract you. So a famine came in the land, and Isaac had to pick up Rebekah, Esau, Jacob, all his servants, all his herds and cattle. He was very rich, and go to some land where there was water. Without water, you couldn't exist. So we left off last week with him going into King Abimelech's territory, where seemed to be he was okay. All right. Now, his destiny, the fact that the Messiah is going to come through that lineage, seems on hold, doesn't it? That's what happened to you. Something happened, and your destiny seems on hold, right?
And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herd, and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him.
Uh-oh, the Philistines are mean there. They're jealous of him. Now, once you realize what your purpose is, and when you get a little sidetracked, Look out for the Philistines. These are the little imps of Satan. They're going to come and they're going to picky, picky, picky. You know, one thing after another.
15, for all the wells that his servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth.
The Philistines had gone to all the wells that Isaac and Abraham had dug there, and they put dirt in them. Uh-oh. You were on your road to destiny. You were going to give your life to God, but somebody came and put dirt, and you've lost your way. Maybe it was a relationship. You know you're not supposed to be unequally yoked, but you went with that person anyway. Maybe it was a job. You should have done that. Maybe you took some substance that you didn't need to take. Or maybe you just didn't bother to study God's word to cause you to go lukewarm. In other words, the well's been filled with dirt. We need to dig out some of that dirt, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. Verse 16, and Abimelech said unto Isaac, go down now, for thou art much larger than me.
Abimelech is the king there. Usually he welcomed Isaac and Abraham, but he said, you are so rich. We don't have enough grazing land, enough water for you and all of your cattle and my cattle. You're going to have to leave our country. Now, you know, when the king of a country says you need to leave the country, you need to leave the country. I was just thinking about some of these socialist people who hate our country so much. I would suggest you just leave the country.
Verse 17, and Isaac departed from it and pitched his tent in the valley of Kir.
Oh my goodness, everything's looking bad for Isaac. Do you realize Isaac finally had two sons and one of them's supposed to bring through the Messiah eventually? And yet he's wandering around now and he can't even live in the good land. Abimelech's thrown him out, but he's very rich. Isaac's still rich. So he goes and pitches in the valley. Oh my goodness, nobody else wanted to live in the valley. They wanted to live in the high places where they could get the sunshine. But you see, what happened? You had your destiny. You knew that your life was supposed to be about God, but you stopped studying your Bible. You stopped seeking the Holy Spirit. You began to live like the world. And then you found yourself in the valley of despond, as Pilgrim's Progress says. You're down there in the valley, and it seems you can't get out. What are you going to do?
Verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water.
Okay, well, he doesn't quit. I'll just dig some. What you do when you're in a ditch, I guess you just keep digging.
We say he digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them. And he called by their names which his father had called them.
The Bible says, do not throw out the old landmark. What he did was he found some of the wells that his dad Abraham had dug, so he reopened them. He digged them again, and so he went back and to the wells that his father Abraham had dug. So what you do in the Valley of Despond, get back to God's word. Get back to going to church. You need to go at least Wednesdays and Sundays and any other time something opens up. Get back to letting the Holy Spirit lead you. Get back to spending time with God. Get back to hearing God's voice, to seek Him. When you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. Go Amen. Back. Go back to your first love, as Jesus says in the book of Revelation.
And Isaac sowed again in the valley, and found there a well of springing water.
Look at that. Even in the valley of despond, as Pilgrim Progress says it, even when it looks like all is lost and everything else and the dirt's been in, he digs and lo and behold, God blesses him. I can tell you something. People can say of your life, I don't see how you stand that. I don't see how you live there. I don't see how you put up with that. What they don't understand is that all of that mess that they see, you got God with you.
Amen.
And boy, is that a match.
Amen. Amen.
And the herdsmen of Kir strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, that is ours.
Okay, those herdsmen are coming along and say, that's ours, that's our well, that's not yours.
And they call the well contention.
The word they use there means contention. It should have been translated contention.
21, and they digged another well, And they strove for water also and called the name of it, and they called the name of it Sitma,
which means hatred. Now Isaac's in trouble. He's in the valley here. He's found a well, but here come the enemy, and they're picking, and they just keep putting dirt in his wells, and they're aggravating. What does he do? Listen.
22, and he removed from thence and digged another well.
He just dug another well. See, Jesus gave the great story of the woman who went to the judge because she wanted him to take some care of some lawsuit about her husband. The judge wasn't even righteous, but she would not give up. She went every day, and the judge said, because of her importunity, I'm going to grant her petition. That means unashamed persistence. Unashamed persistence. I tell you, perseverance wins. Did you know you can outlast the devil?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus was hungry. And the devil came to him and said, if you be the Son of Man, do this and do that. And Jesus said, it is written, and quoted the scripture. He did it so much, the devil left him for a season. Greater is he who is in you than he's in the world.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Quit. Keep on. No matter what it is, how dry the well, keep on loving God, reading your Bible, praying in the Spirit, serving the Lord, giving, seeking for God day in, day out. Sooner or later, a well, a fountain's going to gush up in your life. God is watching.
Amen. Amen.
And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Ebahobatha.
They gave up. The enemy went away. Don't you just love it when the devil says, I just can't make that person curse God? Don't you want to be like that? Get back to your first love. Get back. Redig your well. Give everything you are to him already again tonight. Rededicate, renew, and just be rejuvenated. For this day forth, 24 hours a day, Jesus is your Lord.
Amen.
For he said, now the Lord hath made room for us that he should be fruitful in the land. Verse 22. And they went up thence to Beersheba. 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father.
This is so beautiful about God. He watches when you're in the valley of despond. And he sees you when those wells seem all dried up and you keep digging. But he's not going to leave you comfortless. At some point, God will visit you and will encourage you. And when he moves, you will know he has moved. You will know the touch of the Holy Spirit when he touches you, and you'll be encouraged.
Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed. 25. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord.
So what he did right there in the valley, I mean, he's not back home yet. He's still digging the wells, but he just bends his heart and worships the Lord. Keep on worshiping God. No matter how long the valley, worship him. You're going to get out of that. You're going to win yet.
And pitched his tent there, and Isaac sowed the well. 26, then Abimelech and his team, and all of these names, the names of Abimelech's men here means possessions. In other words,
Abimelech and some of his generals come up there, and all of their names mean possessions. Now, what's he coming back? He had told Isaac to leave the land. Isaac left the land, and he's making it in the valley. It's not easy, you know. Well, what in the world does King Abimelech want?
Want to possess things. 27, and Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, saying ye've already sent me away from you? 28, and they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with you.
Abimelech says, we saw that God was with you. Do you know that the lost people in this world can see whether God is really on you, in you, through you? You can't fool them. Paul says we are like a sweet-smelling savor to them that are lost and to them that are saved. You know what the anointing means? The anointing means that Jesus Christ paints himself on you. So people see God in you. Do they see that despite the fact that your wells have been closed and everything seems dry and you're in the valley of despond? Do they still see the beauty of Jesus in you? Do they still see you get up and praise him one more time without poor little me? Do they see God on you? Shame, shame if they don't, Christian. He will anoint each of you. All you have to do is submit. Give your whole heart to God.
Amen.
Yield to the Holy Spirit, and he will fill you. How much more shall the Lord give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he will paint himself on you, and the world will see it. They'll say, wow, God is all over you. Abimelech had learned Psalm 105, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. He had been punished by God for messing around with Abraham's wife Sarah, so he wasn't going to mess around with Isaac.
And we said, let there be an oath betwixt us. Verse 29.
Let's make a little promise here that you're not going to hurt me and I'm not going to hurt you, because we're both very wealthy, says King Abimelech to Isaac.
That thou wilt do us no hurt. But we have not touched thee, and we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Verse 30. And they made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. 31. And they rose up and said one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace.
He makes even your enemies be at peace when you're in his will.
Verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that his servants came and told him concerning the well he had digged, and said unto him, we found water.
And see, as you dig your wells again, you get back to that total submission to God, that total dedication. Get away from all those distractions, whatever, everything to God. God's going to bless you. You're going to have the living water, the well, the fountain of life, the blood of Jesus. Bless your life.
Amen.
And he called it Sheba. Wherefore the city is Beersheba.
The well of the oaks, that's where they made a promise.
Unto this day. 34.
Now we get back to Esau and Jacob. Okay, we had the little side trip, and the devil tried to detour Isaac, but he didn't give up. So now we can go back to the main business, which is through this lineage is supposed to come Messiah, through one of these young men.
When Esau was 40 years old, and he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon.
Esau just goes from one thing to another. He sold his birthright. We studied that last week. And so Jacob's got that. See, the firstborn always got the birthright. And in this case, it was going to be the blessing from God. But he sold it to Jacob. Now he goes and breaks God's rule. God said, keep the lineage pure. Do not be unequally yoked. And he goes out and marries heathen women who were even mixed with the fallen angels. Well, God certainly wasn't going to send his son through that lineage. So Esau is just eliminating himself from being the one through whom Messiah would come. Do you realize if he hadn't messed up and stayed pure, that the Messiah would have come through Russia? Esau is Edom, Red, Rush, rushed by the Volga.
Hittite. Verse 35. Which was the grief of mourning to Isaac and Rebekah.
Isaac and Rebekah, very sad that Esau went out and married the wrong women. Don't be unequally yoked. Let God bring that person to you. Otherwise, just go it alone. Amen. You be the bride. Let Jesus be the bridegroom. You'll be okay.
Genesis chapter 27, verse 1.
Now, this is a very prophetic chapter. We won't get there today, but we'll start. This is where you're going to see the United States of America begin to raise its beautiful head in God's word. Remember, God told Rebekah there were two nations in her womb. We discovered one is Russia and the other is the United States of America. As we move along in Genesis, I will explain in detail.
And it came to pass when Isaac was old his eyes were dim, so that he could not see.
Ouch.
And he called unto himself his older son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I.
Now, right there, this is something. Esau is blind. Now, they live in a tent, and I mean, if you're in a room and you can see if your son is over here or over there or washing the dishes or whatever you're doing, but he had to call him. Now, the son had learned that when you talk to a blind person, you forget that they can't see you, and you're standing there and you think they're ignoring you. No, they can't see you. You must speak. You must speak. You must speak. So he's going to say, yes, here I am, Dad.
And he said, behold now, I am old, and know not the day of my death. Verse 3, now take thee therefore, I pray thee, thy weapon, thy bow, and go to the field, and take me some venison.
Esau was very good at that. He was really a great hunter. He would get some deer and cook some venison like his dad liked.
Verse 4. And make it for me such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die.
So Isaac says, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, and let's have this feast, and then I'm going to give you the birthright. Isaac didn't know that Esau had sold the birthright to Jacob. Rebekah knew it. Obviously, Rebekah was more in tune with God's plan than Isaac. Isaac just, you know, was still thinking that Esau was the one to get the blessing.
5. And Rebekah heard what Isaac spake to Esau.
Thank goodness Rebekah heard. God made sure she heard it. What you're going to see about Rebekah now, she's a great woman of God. She is going to use covert activity to get God's will be done. Back in Genesis 25, God says the younger is the one through whom Messiah is coming. The younger is the one to receive the blessing. So God had already told her that Jacob was the one supposed to get the blessing.
Son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison. 6. And Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, behold, I heard thy father speaking to Esau thy brother, saying, verse 7, bring me venison, that I may eat my favorite meat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Verse 8, now therefore, my son, obey thou my voice according to that which I commanded.
Now here's what I want you to do, Jacob, says Rebekah.
9. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 kids of the goats.
2 kids of the goats, not 1, 2. We'll find out why she needs 2.
And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves.
Obviously, Rebekah had been married for a while, and she learned what the old codger told us when his wife said, all you ever do is ask me to cook you some food. You don't ever kiss me anymore. And the old codger said, kissing don't last, cooking do.
Verse 10, thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death.
She's using covert activity. She's going to get that those 2 little kids whipped up there and make it so good. So much garlic, so much olive oil, so much pepper.
11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall be unto him as a deceiver.
In other words, a blind person's eyes are in their hands. From the time you wake up in the morning, you feel all day long. And if you felt it yesterday, you have to feel it again, because it might have moved or it might have disintegrated. Everything is to feel. So he says, I'm smooth, Esau's hairy, he's going to feel, see, I'm not hairy, and he's going to call me a deceiver. He didn't want his dad to think he was a deceiver.
And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse.
But of course she wasn't cursed, because she was doing God's work. It's called covert activity. That's acceptable when you're outsmarting the devil.
Amen. My son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. For Tin went and fetched them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved.
Yummy.
Verse 15. Rebekah took goody raiment of Esau, which was in the house.
Now, the firstborn in every family had certain clothes nobody else could wear. They were the firstborn. So she went and got Esau's firstborn clothes. I guess like today, let's say that you have two children and they're both the same gender. Yes, they're just two genders. It didn't change. It's still male and female. Okay. And so you have this little girl and she's your first child. And oh, man, you buy everything. I mean, that child has got some wardrobe. We got ribbons in the hairs and bows and dresses and shoes. But then the second one comes and she's a girl and you said, been there, done that, secondhand. Hand-me-downs, okay. But so she gets the oldest son Esau's clothes because the one to receive the birthright had special clothes and she puts them on Jacob. Boy, is Rebekah smart.
And put them upon Jacob, her younger son, 16. And she put the skin of the kids and goats upon the skins of his hands.
That's why she needed two. She made two temporary gloves of those little hairy little goats. I'll tell you. I wonder how she taped them up there, but she fixed them. She's very creative. The Bible says God gives knowledge a witty invention. So he did that for her. He does that for me all the time. It's a lot of fun.
17, and she gave the savory meat and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob.
She fixed it up in a nice dish. Here, Jacob, take it to your dad.
18, he came into his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father,
Which is my son? Are you Jacob or are you Esau?
I am Esau, thy firstborn. I've done according as thou badest me. I pray thee, let me eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. 20, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast done this so quickly, my son?
How did you get that deer so fast and cook it?
And he said, because the Lord my God brought it to me.
Well, that wasn't exactly a lie. The Lord brought it to him through his mother, Rebekah.
21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whither thou be, my son Esau, or not.
I'm going to have to feel you. Let me see if you're smooth or hairy.
And Jacob went in unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. He said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.
Now, at the sixth trump, we're in the fifth trump now. This is a time of learning. It's coming to an end. At the sixth trump, there will be a great being to come to this planet, and he will call himself God's Savior. Half of the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will think he's Jesus come to fly you out of here, but he will be the devil with his Jesus costume on. Revelation says he has two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. Will you recognize the voice?
22, and he discerned him not.
Isaac did not discern. One of the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is discernment of spirits. All of you need to pray for that one very desperately here as we come to the end, so you won't be deceived. But in this case, I do believe that God stopped Isaac from having that so that Jacob could go ahead and get the blessing, because that was God's plan.
Because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's, so he blessed him.
Now, next week we're going to actually hear that blessing, and we're going to show you that it is the blessing that was brought down to the United States of America. And on October 12th, on my radio program, Saturday 9 a.m., we're going to have a day of repentance for the entire United States of America. We're going to contact every state in the union and the president and everybody we can, and we want you to help us out. And we're going to have this day of repentance in this country because we have found out that the larger bulk of the 10 tribes of Israel settled here. And we're going to explain this as we go along in the book of Genesis. So, If your little well is all filled up with dirt, get the dirt out, dig again, get back to total submission to the Lord. The happiest you will ever be is to give your life to God. Stop fighting it. Stop thinking that it was about you and the family and the job and the money and fun. It's not. You're sent here on a mission, so let's get with our mission, and then you'll have peace.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
But at this time, I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry.
We're going to have mystery moment questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. What's our first question?
Okay, our first question today. Colette of Suntree asked, what is Leviathan?
Okay, that's our friend Colette. She wants to know what Leviathan is. This is the book of Job. The word actually means crocodile. It's the crocodile of the Nile River. But spiritually, he's that old twisted serpent, dragon, Satan, devil. Boy, does he twist his victims. That's it.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Okay, our next question. Why use the oil when you pray for the sick?
We use the oil when we pray for the sick because God's word commands us to. In James chapter 5, 13, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. That means someone who's maturing God's word and lives God's word. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, O-I-L, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if there be any sins, they be forgiven. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word oil comes from two of the names of God, Eliyah. It's a point of contact. God says to do it, so we do it.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Prepare yourselves for the battle. Fortify your minds with the word of God. Suppose ye that I have come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. As it was in his first coming, so shall it be in his second. A division of nations, a division of truth and lies, a division of darkness and light, a division of those who will serve God and those who will not, a division of the one true God from all the other idols and false gods. Romans 3:30.
Romans, that is so great. Thank you, Scott. That's
You're welcome,
prophetic. That we're living that right now.
We
That's
are.
Actually
we're seeing
becoming
it.
True. Now, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. So out there in cyberspace, get your sick loved ones and gather around. But before we do, I want to pray for anyone who's lost. If you're not saved or you're not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it. And God will save you and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To help build the body of Jesus Christ.
To help build the body of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that in a few minutes, Scott's going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call and leave that message on my machine. Now, for those of you who are sick, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Where there is queasiness in the stomach, I say, peace be still. Divine order, settle down in Jesus' mighty name. Lower back be healed, pain be gone. Jesus bore the pain. In Jesus' name, be relieved from your distress. Muscles that are atrophying, muscles be strong, be strengthened in Jesus' name. Circulate blood in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let there be strength. Let there be vitality. Those of you who have broken hearts and broken lives and broken dreams, be made whole. God will restore you in the name and the power of Jesus. Glory to you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. He sent his word and healed them. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. He brings it health and cure. He heals all your wounds in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. And
Amen.
Honor. We
Amen.
Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Now remember about Jesus, Revelation 19, 13. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Nothing is given to you to keep. God's law of reciprocity, you give it away, sow it, it'll come back to you. Take these beautiful truths and sow them. People are dying in this world to understand. They don't know the mystery. They don't even know why they're here. And you're learning and you can share that with them. I want to take a moment to give a shout out of thanksgiving to the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend Scott Mercer. Thank you for Scott's stuff.
Thank you,
and
Sherry.
Thank you for being our announcer. And God bless you and your beautiful family.
Thank you.
Now, until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying, I love you and I thank you for joining me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the mighty name of Jesus. I can't wait until next time. Until you and I, as the family of God, get together to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah. Yay. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet of Truth.
Church arise. It is time that the church arise. lifting up the name of Christ, bursting forth with his light, we will shine.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
There's got to be more than going back and forth. From doing right to doing wrong, because we were taught that's who we are. Well, come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody. Is worth in what you do. Then, like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars. Like this and wrap him up in righteousness, but that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made, the cross has made you flawless.
shoot of grace, grace, God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scar, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Praise and worship.
This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. It may look like I'm surrounded, This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight.